Hello and welcome back to the Sam T. Blues Review here on 97.7 The Bolt. Joining me now is a super talented musician. He blends blues, hip-hop, folk, rock, a little bit of everything, and creates something, well, special. He's going to be performing with his band, The Special Sauce, at Woolies in Des Moines. That is coming up Tuesday, January 7th. It is G-Love. G-Love, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Thanks for asking. So like I mentioned, you know, you blend all these various genres and styles, and, I mean, you do it quite well. But, of course, for me anyway, I predominantly hear, you know, the blues and the hip-hop influences. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how those styles kind of influenced your work?
Sure. I mean, you know, for me, it started off kind of in a musical search. You know, I started off kind of flat picking, strumming, you know, just learning to play, you know, songs, learning to play Beatles songs, Bob Dylan songs. And then I started writing songs when I was about 15. And then that's when I really found my calling, I think. I was playing the harmonica on the rack, on the harmonica holder while playing the guitar. And, you know, this was pretty unique for a 16-year-old kid in 1986 when all my friends were playing, you know, in a Cure cover band or,
sure, yeah,
you know, playing this 80s kind of pop rock. I started going to some open mic nights around Philadelphia, and I said, oh, man, no, there's a lot of people that are big fans of Bob Dylan. You know what I mean? So I said, man, I got to find something new. I always wanted to find something different.
Sure.
So I went to the record store. I said, hey, do you have, anybody that plays solo acoustic guitar, and with the harmonica rack other than Bob Dylan and Neil Young, right? Because that's what, mm-hmm. that's all I knew. So
right.
they turned me on to, check this record out, oh, John Hammond's Country Blues. And this record changed my life from the very first note. I put it on to hear John Hammond's rendition of Traveling Riverside Blues, mm-hmm. with Robert Johnson's song. That was it. It was like, oh, okay, this is what I can do with an acoustic guitar. This is what one man can do with an acoustic guitar and a harmonica, and you're singing and you're stomping your foot. And then I got to see John perform live sometime later. He would come through Philadelphia quite often. And then I was like game over. Well, it was game on. and so an interesting thing about John Hammond is that, you know, a lot of his recordings are he has cut and released many original tunes, but a lot of his work has been his own renditions of every of different bluesman songs. So
right.
Having John as my main influence led me on a path to Lightning Hopkins, to Sleepy John Estes, to, you know, Mississippi John Hurt, Mississippi Fred McDowell, Howlin' Wolf. I mean, the list goes on and on. Robert Johnson, Charlie Patton. So then that became my life's work, to kind of collect those records and try to learn from them. And that was it.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the same time, you grew up in, like, the 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the same time, this is kind of right when hip-hop is starting to be popular. So were you kind of listening to both at the same time, or did, you know, one kind of lead to the other?
So, I mean, so it was exactly this. So how did my style, the hip-hop blues, happen? Well, it's pretty cool. Like, so, you know, there was two sides of me. One was the kid who was sitting in his room writing these songs about kind of leaving the city. And so I grew up in the center city, Philadelphia. And I always had this romantic thing about hitting the road. And actually, to tell you the truth, it's a little embarrassing, but a lot of it was influenced by the movie, the blues movie Crossroads, which was a little cheesy looking back.
Ralph a little Macchio, bit, yeah.
But, I mean, as a 15-year-old kid, it still got across this notion of, like, the blues, like,
right.
walking down the road with the searching for the lost song, and Robert Johnson, and it was powerful. So there's one side of me that was kind of having this, you know, romantic image of leaving the city, and then the other side of me was a city kid that was out running around, you know, writing graffiti, and a little skate rat, you know, breakdancing, playing basketball.
Sure.
You know, going all over the city and doing all this kind of hip-hop culture stuff, which their soundtrack was, in the late 80s, the greatest hip-hop of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Like KRS-One, the Beastie Boys, Run DMC, LL Cool J, De La Soul. I mean, all these guys. So one day, I was a street musician some years later, and it kind of collided in a natural way. I was at the end of my night. I had my greatest night ever playing out on the street. I made $60. And then I was like, oh, man, I big time. Kind of towards the end of the night, feeling real loose, and I was just riffing on this blues riff, and I started rapping the lyrics from this old Eric B. and Rakim song, Paid in Full.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, like, oh, man, like, there's... I just kind of knew. I was like, oh, I just found... That's it. Like, you know, and it was just kind of natural product of my environment, you know. But I knew at that point it was like a great epiphany in my life. It was like sky opened up, and it was like, you know, Excalibur moment. Like, I found my sword, you know, which was blending hip hop and blues. And then later that week, I wrote my first original rap over a slide guitar riff, and and then the rest was kind of history.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about the Special Sauce. How did you kind of get that band together?
So I had moved from Philadelphia to Boston at 19 in summer of 1992, and I was a street musician up there. And I started getting a couple little gigs here and there off the street into some bars, and at one of those on a rainy Sunday night, I was just playing. Actually, I was at work. I got a call from a fellow street musician friend. He said, hey, man, the opening act canceled. Can you open up for us tonight? Oh, well, I asked my boss. She said, yeah, go on. I got on my skateboard. I got my gear. What's the gig? You know, I played for the opening band. I played for the band I was opening up for, you know, the sound guy, the cocktail waitress, the club, the owner of the club, and one person who I thought was a customer was just the cocktail waitress's boyfriend who happened to be looking through the help wanted because he was a down-and-out drummer, and his name was Jeffrey Clemens. He came up to me after the set and said, hey, man, that was pretty cool. And I said, oh, thanks. And I started walking away, you know, because I had so many important places to go to. and he goes, I'm a drummer. And I turned around and said, oh, hey. So we ended up talking, and then you know, we did the first month or so as a duo, just drums and guitar, and then we got Jimmy Jazz in the upright bass. And then once we had the band together, the sound really came together because, Jeff was a blues and a jazz and a funk drummer, and he knew I would play him hip-hop, and he would know, oh, that's a Kool and the Gang sample. Oh, that's a Meter sample.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was like, who's the Meters? and then he also, of course, was very familiar with all the blues that I was aspiring to play. So he knew kind of what to make of it. And then Jeff had the idea to put upright bass in. We tried a bunch of jazz cats from his jazz jam, but to tell you the truth, like, the music was... our music is somewhat sophisticated in the sense that there's weird changes that happen at, you know, it's some of the writing is weird, but
sure.
At the end of the day, it's not sophisticated. It's really kind of it's somewhere in between sophisticated and primitive, I guess. But
I know what you're saying.
Like, it's like the jazz guys. Their head was too over it. So
okay.
You know, like, they just couldn't like dig it. So Jimmy Jazz was an aspiring jazz cat with like a Grateful Dead classic rock, punk rock background, so he kind of was able to latch on to the simpler things that I was doing, but be able to find the kind of bebop and musical exploration ability in it. So we found our guy in the gym, and that was it.
Wow. So you guys have a new album coming out soon called The Juice, co-produced, co-written by one of my favorite guys, Keb Moe. Tell me how that came about.
Right, man. So, you know, Keb and I have a long story that lasted my whole career. So we both got signed in 1993 by Michael Kaplan at Epic Records. And together that year, 94, we both launched our first records under that OK record label, which was historically like a, quote, race record label, meaning they put out records by African-American artists in the 30s, including Robert Johnson. We relaunched this OK Epic label, and that was that. And then fast forward, you know, 20 years later, we really didn't see much of each other. After that first year, we reconnected for a co-headlining tour. It was cool, and at that point, we talked about trying to do some kind of recordings, and I said, hey, Kev, man, let's do a duet record. about a year after the tour, and he said, gee, I just shot my duet record load, man. I just finished the Taj Mahal record with Taj Mahal.
Right, yeah.
I said, oh, man, oh, shoot. All right, well, I would be interested to produce a couple tracks for you. So I said, great. So we spent some time. I went to Nashville. We started writing songs, and we made the first 5 songs in 5 days, I think. And, you know, in Kev, I found myself back into the role of kind of, you know, being the student again.
Sure.
I found myself being a student again. And wait, the UPS guy just showed up. I just got to get this package real quick.
Oh, that's all right. Do what you got to do.
Sweet. Thank you. Good one. Appreciate it. So, you know, I found myself being a student, and Kev is very, very meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's very focused. He's very hardworking. He's very meticulous to the point that it's almost unbelievable. So, like, Kev would be like, all right, gee, you know, sing this line. Fix your face, baby. And I was like, all right, fix your face, baby. And he'd say, no, gee, like this. Fix your face, baby. And then, so then I would go, fix it. And this would go on for hours.
That's
and,
funny.
Indeed, the first night we worked on this vocal for the song Fix Your Face that we had written till like 3 in the morning. So wow. I'm in a studio at 3 in the morning with these two old 68-year-old guys, Kev Moe and Gary Nicholson, the other writer. I'm like, man, these guys, I haven't gone this late in the studio since, you know, 1999. You know what I mean? So the next day, Kev goes, hey, gee, I was just messing with you last night. I just wanted to see if you were really here to work.
You know what I mean? Oh, geez.
But, so it's kind of like that. But, he, you know, you can't get anything by him. Like, every word, every lyric, every instrument, every note of every instrument on every beat and every vocal song has to be the correct, like, the right kind of phrasing.
Sure.
The right placement on the beat, the right meaning behind the word. I mean, he really, And because of that, I think this record is one of my greatest records ever. The songwriting is unbelievable, and it's fun, and it's, even despite all the meticulous approach,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't lose the energy or the passion behind it. If anything, it has more power, you know.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm really looking forward to it. Is that coming out January sometime?
It is. What? To tell you the truth, you can pre-order the record now. So if people want to cruise over to our Facebook, G Love and Special Sauce, or my Instagram, at Philly G Love, or at G Love on Twitter, or our website, philadelphonic.com, or you can just Google G Love, of course. You can pre-order the record, and actually, there's 4 singles. We actually just released the newest single, Sold the Cue, which is my favorite track featuring the great Sacred Steel player Roosevelt Collier. And you get pre-order record, which comes out in January. But there are 4 tracks you can get right now already.
So perfect. Cool. Great. Well, G-Love, I'm looking forward to the album. And, of course, I'm looking forward to your performance at Woolies. That is Woolies in Des Moines, Tuesday, January 7th. Showtime at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7. G-Love, thank you so much for talking with me.
Hey. Thank you so much, and you know, I want to say thanks to all our friends and musical family out there in Iowa, in Des Moines, and around the whole beautiful state. And we look forward to getting heated up on a cold January night.
There you go.
In a couple weeks.
Right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much, G-Love. Have a good one.
You too. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks.